Of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah, and this is a question about Pikadon Mos, when the Mafkid gives the Shomer Mos to watch, to guard, and the question is whether the Nifkad, whether the Shomer is allowed to use the Mos, and if he is, what are the repercussions in terms of the nature and the scope of his Chiyuv. So the Mishnah says, Amafkid Mos Eitzel Shulchani. As we've seen in the past, Shulchani is a money changer. And when a person puts Mos in the hands of a Shulchani and asks him to watch them, he realizes that since the Shulchani, by the very nature of his occupation, he gives change to people back and forth, you know, switching hands over the money. So what does the Mafkid assume with regard to these Mos? Will the Mafkid, in a sense, give the green light, the permission for the Shulchani to use the Mos? So the Mishnah says it depends. Im Tzrurim, the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what Tzrurim is, but in a general sense, he ties up the money in a very tight bag, in a way that indicates that don't touch it. Lo yishtamish bahen. Then the Shulchani is not allowed to use those monies. And therefore, lefichach, the implication is, im avdu, again, we're not talking about pshia here, but im avdu, eino chayv bachri yusam, which means we're talking here in this mission about a shomer chinam, who's chayv for pshia, but he's not chayv for gnev of aveda. And the mission is addressing a case of aveda, where shomer chinam is potur, and the mos were lost in a way that has nothing to do with the shomer. The shomer is not guilty of negligence. That's the case of tzrurin. The opposite case is mutarim. If the monies are accessible, the coins are loose, they're not tied up in a double knot. Okay, I'm just using that as a phrase. That indicates that the Mafkid is giving the green light to the Shomer, in this case the Shulchani, to use these Mos and just replace them with other Mos when the time comes to return the Pikadon. Is Yishtamish Bahem? The Shulchani has already a Heter to use these Mos. He hasn't used these Mos yet, he hasn't touched them, but he has the green light to do so. Is Lefichach, therefore, Im Avdu Chayev Bachar Yusan. At this point, the Nifkad, the Shomer, becomes a Shomer Sachar, or perhaps a Shoel. He has benefits from the object. As soon as the Shomer gets benefits from the object, that already shifts the nature, the category of his Shmira, of his status as a Shomer, from that of a Shomer Chinam to that of a Shomer Sachar, perhaps even a Shoel. And he's chayv bachrayus, which means that if these mos get lost, and in this case we might even talk about a loss ba'ones, because again there's a possibility here that that by virtue of the heter shtamshus, the shulchani gets the status of a shoel, which means that if I borrow something from you for the purpose of using it, a shoel is chayv ba'onesim. Even circumstances beyond his control. And since the Shulchani in this case has the okay to use the money, he becomes a shoel on the money. And therefore he's chayv even ba'onesim. Or perhaps since he gets benefits from this shmira, therefore he's a shomer sachar. Shomer sachar gets benefits from the shmira. He's paid for the shmira, therefore he's chayv for gnev of aveda. Now we have another case of Eitzel Balabais. Here, Reuven gives his mos, deposits his mos in the hands of Shimon. Shimon's the shomer. Shimon is not a professional money changer of any sort. He's a regular Balabais. Then the Mishnah establishes that Bein Tzrurin Uvein Mutarim Lo Yishtamish Bahem. That even if the coins are loose, they're not tied up in a bag. Nevertheless, the mindset and the understanding of the mafkid, the owner of these mos, is that the shomer will not use the mos, even though they're loose. And therefore, lefichach im avdu eino chayv b'achor yus. And again, we're talking about a shomer chinam who's not chayv for aveda. And since he has no heter ishtamshus, he remains a shomer chinam. There's nothing here to upgrade his shmira. He gets no benefits from the pikadon. And here we have two polar extremes. We have shulchanis, the shomer is the shulchani receive the money, or the shomer is the baal bais who receive the money. Right down the middle, we have the case of a chenvani. The chenvani is a storekeeper. Many people give him mos to pay, and he has to give them change. He's not a professional money changer. And here, the Mishnah records a machlokes tanon. How do we classify and define the status of a chenvani? If someone is mafkid mos in the hands of the chenvani, how do we view that? And Rabbi Meir says kibal bayis. His status is equivalent to that of a baal bais. He's not chayav achrayis because he has no heter hishtamshus, which means that even though the chenvani received loose mos mutarim, nevertheless, these mos are considered mos pikadon and not mos halva. He doesn't have the ability, the permission to use these mos. Rabbi Yehuda omer chenvani kishulchani. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the status of a chenvani with regard to shmira and pikadon is identical to that of a chenvani. And there's an understanding, unless indicated otherwise, that the baal bayis, whose mafkid is mos in the hands of a chenvani, according to Rabbi Yehuda, understands very well that the chenvani could use these mos and replace them with other mos. So if they're mutarim, like in the case of shulchani at the beginning of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says the chenvani becomes a shomer sachar or a shol, and he becomes chayev for gneva of aveda. Now, in general, if we assume that mutarim, the fact that the coins are loose, is an indication of permission on the part of the mafkid to the nifka to use the mos, why in the case of baal bayis is it clear, nobody debates this point, that if the nifka, the shomer, is a baal bayis, he's not allowed to use the mos, even in the case of mutarim? And Rashi elsewhere addresses this question. He says that the reason why we can understand and explain that the mafkid did not tie up the mos in a tzara situation, in a package, in a bag, is because in general he doesn't think that the shomer, who's a regular rank and file baal bayis, will need these mos to exchange them. You know, sometimes you have a higher bill, a higher coin, that's a value you want to give it. You want to break it into smaller change, that's called lifrot mos. The baal bayis didn't even bother to tie this up because he wasn't thinking that he's giving benefits to the nifkad to allow him to use these mos. In the case of a shulchani, in the case of a chenvani, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who equates chenvani with shulchani, because the shulchani is a storekeeper, and he's always involved in buying and selling, and therefore he also exchanges money back and forth. You know, people come in to buy something, they have a higher bill, he wants to give them change. He's also, to some extent, like a money changer. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda insists that his din is equivalent to that of a chenvani at the reish of the Mishnah, of a shulchani in the reish of the Mishnah. And therefore, even the chenvani, as long as he receives loose coins, mutarim, is allowed to use those mos. That was the nature of the understanding of the mafkid, of the mindset of the mafkid, and therefore he's chayev biachrayus. The Gemara now wants to analyze, within the context of the reish of the Mishnah, shulchani, what's the difference between tzrurim and mutarim. So the Gemara asks, naively, mishum de tzrurim lo yishtamish bam. If you're telling me that once they're mutarim, the shomer who receives these mos, in the case of a shomer who's a shulchani, he's allowed to use them, That means a person, when he gives most to a shulchani, to a money changer, he understands that the money changer in a constant basis, he needs most. That's the nature of his livelihood. And therefore he gives permission, he forgives the shulchani to use these most. Is why not extend that and apply that even to the case of tsurin? And the premise of that underlies this question, the makshin, is that as a general rule, everyone usually ties up their most. They don't, they don't walk around with a large number of coins that are loose. They tie them together and they bundle them. And if that case, why should we assume that the fact that he bundled his most, if that's the classical way you carry and transfer most, is an indication, a gili das, that he doesn't want the shulchani b'shum part of ofen to use these most. Omer Avasi, Omer Yehuda, and the point of the Gemara is to say that we misunderstood tsurim. Tsurim doesn't mean it was tied up in the way that normally people carry around their money in a little bit of a bag, but rather it's tsurim v'chasumim. It was absolutely sealed. Shanu, that's the case in the Mishnah. That's what we assume that he is indicating to the Shulchani in this case, that he absolutely doesn't want these mos to be used. Now the word mutarim in our Mishnah means mutarim legamre, that they're completely loose, and I say this not because it's relevant to the Shulchani case. The Shulchani case means that even if it's not completely loose, but it's bagged, but without this chasim, without this seal, he still is given permission to use these most, but I say it because of the case of the balabayas. The Mishnah establishes that if the nifkad was a balabayas, he's absolutely not allowed to use these most, even if they're mutarim. Here, the word mutarim doesn't mean the chiddush is not just limited to the case where he bundles it in a bag in a normal classical way, but mutarim means even if they're absolutely loose, which is unusual, nevertheless, lo yishtamish b'hem. And this is based on the Rambam in Hilchos Shelo Pikudin Perek Zayin. Omarav Ika Diamri, I'm sorry. Rav Mari wants to say that the reason why the Reisha, the Shulchani, can't use the most, what was the message that the Mafkid was transmitting here, was Bekesher Mishuna. Even if I grant you that people tie up their bundle and after they put the most in a bundle, they make a little bit of a knot on it. However, there's a standard knot and there's an extreme kind of knot, a kesha mishuna. And that itself, says Rav Mari, is a message that the mafkid is sending to the shulchani. Don't go near this bundle. Don't even dream of opening the coins and using them. I want these very coins and this very bundle back. That's a kesher mishuna. There's another formulation or transmission of Rav Mari's statement, Ikad Yamri in the Lishna Basra. Boy, Rav Mari, kesher mishuna mai. Rav Mari was not convinced one way or the other about the case of Kesher Mishuna. Is the Kesher Mishuna this strange kind of a knot, an indication that the Mafkid is conveying a message to the Shomer, don't touch these Mos? Or no, as long as there's no Chasima, as long as he hasn't added a seal to it, what's called a chosam, even though the kesher itself is a little bit different than the normal classical kesher, it's much tighter, nevertheless it's still considered bichlal mutarim, and as far as the shulchani is concerned, he's allowed to use these mos, teku. And the Gemara says that within the context of the Lishna Basra of Rav Mari, who vacillated back and forth as to what the status of Kesher Mishuna is, there was no definite hachra, no definite conclusion, and therefore the Shulchani, without a definite certain message that he's allowed to use the most, would not allow to use the most. And that would be Safek, a Safek Gzela, I mean, Shol Shalom Midas Gazlanavi, and therefore he would not be able to use the most, which has good repercussions in addition to bad, it's good news even while it's bad news. It's bad news in terms of the Shulchan if he actually needs these most, but it's good news in terms of his limited achrayus and his p'tur for Gneva Vavid. Now, as we move on, we now touch on the question that we hinted at before. What exactly is the status of the Shulchani? What is the level of achrayus of the Shulchani in the case of Mutarim, where he's allowed and he has permission to use the mos? How far and how extensive is his achrayus, his obligation, and his level of responsibility? Omrav Huna Vafilu Nensu. Even if the mos that were given to the hands of the shomer were lost in an extreme circumstance, you know, some sort of an earthquake, circumstances beyond his control, there's no element here of pshia, it's pure ones. Nevertheless, Rav Huna says he's going to have to pay the shulchan, he's going to have to replace these mos. Why? Because the mos are given over to the hands into the hands of the shulchani as she'ela, and the din and the status of the shulchani immediately when he receives the mos is that of a shoel, and therefore he's chayav even ba'onsim. So the Gemara now asks the obvious question. The Mishnah says lefichachim avdu enu chay b'achrayus. So we're talking about aveda. The case of aveda classically is something that a shomer socher is chayav for, but it's not an onus situation. If the Mishnah wanted to tell me this far-reaching chiddush that Rav Huna presents here, that the status of the Shulchani is equal to that of a shoel, the Mishnah should have gone a little bit further and said afilu im nensu, and certainly im avdu. So that's Gemara's kashva, avdu katani. And the Gemara answers, kid Rabba. And this statement of Rabba we've had in the past, the Omar Rabba, when the Torah says in the parsha of Shoel that v'nignivu o she'avdu, then nignivu is belistim mezuyon, avdu is she'tova svinoso bayam. And there's a Mishnah, there's a brisa of Gneva Aveda, in which Rabba interprets that to mean Gneva Be'ones, which is armed robbery, and Aveda is a case where he's on a ship and the ship went down to the bottom of the sea. And that's an absolute total onus. So that even though the language there is being used as Gneva Vaveda, quote unquote, nevertheless, the kavana, the meaning is Gneva Vaveda Ba'ones. Here too, in our Mishnah, the word Aveda, says Rav Huna, is an Aveda of Tovas Vinasa Bayam. His ship went down, that's an onus government. Nevertheless, he, the Shulchani, is Chayev, because he has the din of a Shoel. That's the Shita of Rav Huna. Rav Nachman disagrees. Rav Nachman Omar Nensu Lo, that far we don't define the scope of the Chiyuv Achrayis of the Nifkad. He's not Chayef Onsim, he doesn't have the din of a Shoel. He's only Chayef Stam Aveda, the general Aveda. His din, his status is that of a Shomer Sachar. And here the Gemara records a dialogue back and forth regarding the statement of Rav Nachman. Amalei Ravel Rav Nachman, l'didach, according to your view, the amrit nensu lo, that the Shulchani is not chayv for onsim, he does not have the status of a shoel, but rather that of a shomer sachar. Alma, lo havi shoel alayu, you're insisting, Rav Nachman, that he doesn't have the status of a shoel. And if that be the case, if Shoel lo hafi, Shom sochar nami lo hafi, why aren't you consistent? Apparently, your view is that he's not a Shoel. And if he's not a Shoel, why is he Shom sochar? He hasn't received any payment for the Shmira element, right? He's offering to watch and safeguard the currency, the coins of the Baal Bais, of the Mafkid, gratis, without asking for any payment. And if you're going to tell me that we are already foreseeing the future, down the line the Shulchani is going to use the Mos for his needs, if that's why he's chayiv, then he should have the din of a shoel, because you're already anticipating his use of the object. That's someone who borrows an object and gets all the benefits of the object as if he's the bailin, and therefore he has the status of a shoel. So basically, Rava's objection to Rav Nachman is a kind of imanav shach. You have two ways of going. Either you want to say that, look, he hasn't yet used the Mos, so why impose on him any upgraded level of shmir and achrayus? Or you want to say, let's anticipate what is going to be in the future when he uses the Mos. This Shomer Socher categorization is neither here nor there. It's the law of the excluded middle. It doesn't fit into any category. Amalei Rav Nachman says to Rava, Behamo Dina Lecha, I agree to you that even though he hasn't become a Shoel until he actually uses the Mos, when he uses the Mos before, then he becomes a Shoel. However, I disagree with you, and I maintain that he has the status right now before he uses the Mos as a Shomer Socher. Why? The Hoel Venene. There's a principle of Hoel Venene Mahana, which means that what is the relationship between the Mafkid and a Shomer Socher? The Shomer Socher receiving this responsibility to watch, to safeguard the Mos, he gets benefits from it. And if he gets benefits from it, then Mahana, that he gives back benefits. There's a kind of a trade-off over here. So if the Shomer gets benefits, that's called a Shomer Socher. And as a result of these benefits, he is mischayev, he takes upon himself a higher level of achrayus to give back some benefit to the bailim. And what is the benefit that he's giving to the bailim? What is the benefit that he receives from the bailim? And now Rav Nachman is honing in on the case of a shulchani who received mos mutarim. In that case, is the imis ramile zvina, if this individual who received the Mos, in our case we're talking about the Shulchani, has an opportunity that comes up, a rare opportunity to invest in something in which he can make a profit, and he needs liquid assets accessible, is zovin behu, he's going to use this money that was given to him, deposited in his hands, as money to invest in this wonderful opportunity. Let's say there's all of a sudden a sale of of a large volume of a certain product, and he wants to invest in that, buy it, and then sell it at a higher price. So he has a certain benefit in the fact that he can use these mos, as Havi Alayu Shomer Socher. Therefore, we upgrade his status with regard to this pikadon to that of a Shomer Socher. He's getting benefit from it. He's going to be able to use these mos to make a purchase, and therefore make a profit. And therefore, for the benefit that he has, knowing that he can use these mos if the need arises, he himself gives a benefit back to the owner, and he accepts upon himself a higher level of shmira, that of a shomer socher, and he's chayav for gneiva aveda. Eisvei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Rav Nachman now quotes a braisa, and based on that braisa, he wants to prove his shita and disprove Rav Huna's shita. And here we talk about the laws of Me'ilah, and the classical case of Me'ilah, where a person misappropriates, he, so to speak, embezzles the money of Hegdesh, is a case where it's done b'shogeg, inadvertently. In other words, the coins were mistaken as regular coins of Chulin, and the person who used these coins, lo and behold, finds out that they were Hegdesh. And again, the classical scenario is that of a gizbar. The gizbar is in charge of overseeing the mos of Hegdesh. And what happened is, hamafkid mos eitzel shulchani. The gizbar, he's not able to hold on to the mos and safeguard them properly on a massive volume of mos shel Hegdesh. So very often he avails himself of the aid of someone else, and in this case of a shulchani. So he deposited these mos in the hands of the Shulchani. And the Shulchani has no idea right now that these mos are mos of Hegdesh. The Mafkid, in this case, the Gizbar of Hegdesh, who's the custodian in charge of the monies of Hegdesh, failed to notify the Shulchani that these are mos Hegdesh. And therefore, if the Shulchani goes ahead and uses these mos, there is a possibility of saying that the Gizbar is Chayav Mishum Me'ila. He's going to have to pay the penalties of Me'ila. Why? Because the Shulchani is nothing more than a Shliach. Meaning, if we assume that the Gizbar gave permission to the Shulchani to use these mos, and the Shulchani has no clue that these mos are mos of Hegdesh, then the Gizbar is the one who's a Moel. He's just using the Shulchani as his Shliach. And the Gemara Masechta Kiddushin on Daf Mem Beis Amid Beis establishes, based on Gzeir Shavit between Me'il and Truma, that just like in Truma there's Shlichus, and actually Truma is the paradigm of Shlichus, so too in Me'ila there's Shlichus. And the normal rule of Ein Shlichut V'Avera is suspended with regard to Me'ila. In Me'ila there is Shlichut V'Avera. So now what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves the following question: did the Gizbar allow the Shulchani to use these mos? So the Brisa says, Im tzrurim, if the mos was sealed in a bag, lo yishtamish bahem. The mafkid, in this case the Gizbar, did not give any permission to the nifkad, in this case the Shulchani, to use the mos. Lefichach, therefore, im hotzi, if the Shulchani decides to open up this seal, break it open and use these mos, which is against the halacha, he has no rights to do so, then even though he has no clue that these mos are mos of Hegdesh, nevertheless, once we clarify that indeed these are mos of Hegdesh, he, the Shulchani, becomes chayef me'ila, because you cannot define him as a shliach of the Gizbar, because what he received was mos tzurim, which means he had no right and he was not given the permission to use these mos. He does it al das atzma. And therefore, lo mal a Gizbar, the Gizbar is completely exonerated of any Isur Me'ilah here in these mos, even though he gave them over to the Shulchani, but he gave them over to the Shulchani in a way that clearly indicated that these mos should not be tampered with, they should not be used. But im mutarim, if on the other hand the mafkid, the Gizbar, was megaladaito, that he wants to allow and permit the Shulchani in this case to use these mos, is yishtamish bem, since the Shulchani is allowed to use the mos, lefichach im hotzi, if the Shulchani actually uses these mos and finds out later on that these mos of Hegdesh, the Shulchani himself is not a moel, because he's doing it as a shliach of the Gizbar, and mal Gizbar. The karma mila has to be brought by the Gizbar, because he allowed in effect, he appointed the Shulchani as his shliach to use the mos, and therefore, the Gizbar is chay mishum me'ila. So now, Rav Nachman, after quoting this brisa, uses this brisa as a proof to support his sheet and akasha on Rav Huna. I am according to you, Rav Huna, afilu nensu, that the Shulchani is chayev even for onsim, meaning that he, the Shulchani, has a din of a shoel the very moment that he receives these mos. Is my iria hotzi afilu lo hotzi nami? If you're careful about reading this brisa, the brisa says that at what point is there a violation of me'ila, and the Gizbar is obligated to bring a karba me'ila because he gave permission to the shomer, in this case to the Shulchani, to use these mos, they were mutarim. Why is the chiyuv me'ila on the Gizbar conditional and contingent upon hotzi, meaning if and when the Shulchani spends these mos, then there is a violation of me'ila? Is even before that afilu hotzi nami, the very moment that the Gizbar is moser the most into the hands of the Shulchani. At that moment itself, there is a transfer of Rishus, we'll explain that, and the Shulchani has now completed the Me'ilah. Again, he's only doing it as, in the case of Mutarim, a shliach of the Gizbar, and the Gizbar should be chayef. Why is, according to Rav, if we agree to Rav Huna, why is it that the very act of Mesiris Mos over to the hands of the Shulchani itself constitutes and qualifies as Me'ilah? And the answer is, as Rashi explains the I'Amrit, and also Tosus back on Daf Chavtes, the Ramas Vahavi, is that the Shulchani acquires ownership over these Mos the very moment the Mos are given over to his hands. And this is called a halva. Why is this called halva? Halva means when you give me your mos as a loan, I'm allowed to receive your mos and spend them immediately. Milva lo tzar nitna. And therefore the mos are mine. The lover who receives these mos is now the proud owner of these mos. Again, he's going to have to replace them with other mos when the time comes for Piron to repay the loan. And in effect, what's happening here is that if a malva gives mos to the lover, the very moment that he does so, the mesira itself clinches this halva in such a way that the malva has no recourse to get his money back until the shas hapiron. Here too, in the case of the mafkid, once he gives these mos, mutarim of course, into the hands of the shulchani, he no longer has rights to get his mos back. He can't demand it back. It now transfers into the ownership and the possession of the shomer of the shulchani. The shulchani is zoche b'mos, and therefore that itself is a machayev of me'ilah. What generates the chi of me'ilah? What we call the shinu rishus, or the yitziat rishus hegdesh. When you take something out of the rishus of a hegdesh, and in this case, by virtue of the fact that the gizbar gives over the mos into the hands of the shulchani mutarim, that itself removes these mos from the rishus of hegdesh, and therefore there is me'ilah at the very moment of the mesiris hamos into the hands of the shulchani. Why does the braisa wait till he spends the money in order to engender a chiyuv me'ilah? Bishleim alididi, says Rav Nachman, I hold that the shulchani is only a shomer. He doesn't have any ownership. Meaning, if the mafkid, in this case the gizbar, comes and he wants the mos back, he has rights to take them. They were not acquired and they're not possessed by the shulchani. He's only a shomer. Albeit, I grant you, he's a higher level of a shomer because he has the green light and the hanah that he could use the mos if he needs to do so. But in the meantime, he's only a shomer. He's not a shoel. He doesn't have bailus here. There's no alva. It's not as it would be according to Rav Huna, it's not an irreversible giving Mesirat Mos. And what it seems to be here in this sugya, and this is the famous Machna Ephraim wants to point out, that the Chiv Onsim is a result of the nature of this Mesirat Mos as a kind of halva situation. And therefore the Nifkad, in this case the Shulchani, becomes the proud owner of these Mos. He doesn't have to give these Mos back, just as the paradigmic case of Halva. And the Machta Ephraim is bothered by this, because there are many sugyas from which you can prove that the Chiyuv Onsim, in the case of She'ela, is not engendered and generated by the Schus Shimush. In other words, his kinyan on a schus shimush, the shoel, is not what engenders the ownership of a shoel, even if the shoel has not yet been kona a schus shimush. He still has a chiyuv onsim, even though the bailim can be chozer b'hem and they can take the chayfetz back because the shoel has not yet clinched and acquired his schus shimush. Nevertheless, he is a shoel, and he's chayv ba'onsim. And here the Gemara seems to assume that chiyuv onsim is a result of his kinyan of a schus shimush, like the case of halva with the lova is zochen is schus shimush, and therefore the malva can no longer get his mos back. And using that paradigm to apply here to the case of she'ela in the context of Rav Huna seems to imply that the shoel is chayiv ba'onsim because of his kinyan on his chus shimush, and that's against many sugyas in Shas. Be that as it may, the Mach Nefraim has a long presentation on this. We're going to get back now to the sugya. Omer Leh, how does Rav Huna defend himself against this kasha from this brisa? Then in truth, hu adin afagav delo hotzi, even though the brisa literally says hotzi, that at what point is the gizr chayv mishumila, when? At the moment that the Shulchani uses the money, spends the money, no. Even if the Shulchani has not used the money, immediately when he receives the money, prior to using the money, it's already most that left the Rishus of Hegdesh by virtue of the fact that he has the green light to use these mos. Why does the Braisa therefore use the term hotzi when he could have told me a bigger chiddush, even shalo hotzi, but igil yadam? That's an idea. That's a literary kind of move in the Braisa, a technical mechanical move. Idea the tani resha hotzi is tana sefanami hotzi. Since in the case of the resha this Braisa, that if the mos are tsrurim, the Braisa wants to tell you that the gizbar, in that case, since he sealed this bag, he's not responsible for me'ila, even if, that's what the Braisa wants to tell me, yechidish hotzi ha-shulchani, even though the shulchani used the mos, nevertheless, the gizbar is not chayev mishum me'ila. And since in the resha, the Braisa wants to tell you even hotzi, in order to alleviate any chiyuv me'ila on the gizbar, therefore the Braisa, to be consistent, uses the word hotzi in the sefer, even though the me'ila of the gizbar, in the case of mutarim in the sefer, is not dependent upon hotzi. It's not postponed until the moment that the Shulchani actually uses the mos. Now we move on to the next Mishnah, which presents various opinions regarding Shlichus Yad B'Pikadon. The Machlokes is going to be a three-way Machlokes between Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Akiva regarding the question of Shlichus Yad B'Pikadon. Beis Shammai is of the opinion Yilke bechaser uviyeser, which means that in the case where a person, a shomer, uses the object, which he had no right to do, and as a result he has the status of a shaleach yad bepikadon, and now what happens if the value of that object fluctuates? It goes up or down. Let's say, for example, at the moment of the shlichus yad, market value is very high for this pikadon, and even though later on at the time that the shaliach actually compensates the bailim and pays up for his chiyuv, the object goes down in value, says Beit Shammai, it's always going to work against the interest of the shomer who is shaliach yad pikadon, and therefore even though at the time of the tashlumen of the payment it is now down, nevertheless, since at the time of the Shlichus Yad itself it was up in value, that's the moment of Gzela, when the Shliach was Shaleach Yad Pikadon, that freezes the higher price of Shas HaGzela. And he's going to have to pay Domim Yikarim. That's called Yilke B'Yeser. If at the time of the Shlichus Yad Pikadon, the market was low and the value of this pikadon was minimal, but by the time we get around to the shomer paying and compensating the balabayas for this object, it went up in value, that's called yilke b'chaser. He's going to now have to take more money out of his pocket and pay the higher price at the shas tashlumen. So either way, says Beit Shammai, if there's fluctuation in the market, the shomer is going to take the loss. Beisil omrim kishasotza, that shlichus yad pikadon is to be classified and defined as a gazlan, and the universal principle that applies to a gazlan that he pays kishas like zela applies to the shomer, and he pays kishas shlichus yad. Hotza means when he took the object for himself and used it for his own benefits. Rabbi Akiva omer kishas hatvia, the payment, the exact payment, the compensation of the shomer will be determined at the moment of hamada bedin, when the case actually comes in front of the bezdin, and the mafkid sues the shomer for the object. At that moment, that's when we freeze the market value, and the liability is determined and defined at that moment. That's what the shomer will have to pay. So these are the three shitas. Now the Gemara quotes Rabbah as far as Gzela is concerned. So we get the framework and then we can hone in on Shlichus Yad. Omar Rabbah, Haiman de Gozal, in the case of Gzela, Chavita de Chamra Michavre, he stole a barrel of wine. And now the barrel of wine is gone. So he cannot return the actual stolen object. Meikara, at the time of the theft, Shavya Zuze, it was worth, the market was low, it was worth only a zuz. There was plenty of wine in the shuk. But Hashta, now, when the object is gone, when it's taken out of the world, you know, the barrel breaks and all the wine spills out, is at that point wine went up in value. Shavya Arba, it's worth 400% of what it was worth at the time of the Gzela. Now the Gazan has to pay. What does he have to pay? Does he pay Kishasa Gzela? Or does he pay Kishas Yitzia Minola? Does he pay the lower price of his Zuz? So Rabba says it all depends. How did the wine spill? What caused the loss, the destruction of the wine? If it was Tavro Shasya, if the Gazan himself broke this barrel, or drank the wine in the barrel, is then Mishalim Arba Zuzi. It means there's a separate Gzela now at the time of the destruction of the wine. But Itbar Mimela, but if this Chavis broke, not through any action of the Gazlan, is then the Machayef here is not the moment of Shavura, of the breaking of the barrel, but rather the moment that he stole and took the barrel out of the reshus, out of the domain of the nigzal, is then mishalim zuza. He only has to pay one zuz. In other words, the amount of money is then fixed at the time, the moment of gzela. My taima, Rabbah explains this distinction. Why in some cases does he pay one zuz? The gazan pays one zuz. In other cases, he pays four zuzim. Says Rava, Kevanti Isa Hadra Lamari Biene, the Gzela is an ongoing Machayev. It's not just that the Gzela is fixed at one moment, because as long as the object is in existence before the breakage of this barrel, there is a Chiyuv Hashava. The owner of the barrel, the victim of Gzela, the Nigzal, is. It has a right to this barrel, and the Gazan obviously has a responsibility to return this barrel. Is therefore he shaited the kashasile or the katavale at the moment that he, the Gazan, breaks this barrel or drinks the wine? Kagazalvine, it's a new gzela, and since the original gzela is still chayvakayim, it's still very much alive. Therefore, this is a gzela, which generates a chiyuv hashava, and the higher price of four zuzim fixes the nature of the chiyuv hashava. Utnana, we have a mishnah, Masechta Bava Kama, kol hagazlan mishalem kisas gzela. Since he broke the barrel or he drank the wine, that itself is a gzela. He has to pay kishas hagzela, and therefore he has to pay arba zuzi. I just wanted to raise two questions here. In truth, I'm not sure why Rabbah had to say that he's chayev as a gazlan, why can't he be chayev as a mazik when he breaks the barrel and spills the wine and drinks the wine? And a mazik certainly pays kishas hezek, and therefore it's understood memela that he pay the gazlan has to pay the four zuzim. Why does Rabbah have to insist on placing this within the framework of gzela? And when he breaks it, it's a gzela. Forget about gzela. Let him be chayev b'toras mazik, and therefore we don't even need to learn the Mishnah Bava Kama of Kol HaGazlanim Mishalvik Shasak Zela. And apparently, once the Rabbah understands that once the Gazlan takes the object out of the Rishus of the Nigzal, from that moment and on, he has Kinyonim, at least partial Kinyonim Zela, to such an extent that he's not going to be Chayiv as a Mazik. It's kind of a reminiscent of the Sugi that we learned yesterday in a Bava Kama shir of Uman Kona Bishvach Kli, that the Uman in effect breaks his own Kli. Here too the Gazan is breaking his own barrel. At the same time, even though Rabbah defines the moment of Shvira as a new Mechayiv of Gzela, he emphasizes in his introduction, Kevan di Isa Hadra Lamari Biene, if the object, as long as the barrel is alive and well, the gzela is machayev, and the barrel has to go back to the bailim. And the reason he emphasizes that is because, let's say, for example, instead of the barrel going up in value, appreciating from one zuz to four zuz, it was four zuz at the time of the original gzela, and then it depreciated down to one zuz. The Ritva is emphatic to point out that in this case, the fact that the Gazlan broke the object, he's not going to gain and now save himself three zuzim, he's going to have to pay the higher price of Kishas Agzela. So there are two different Mechayvim here, the original moment of Shas Gzela, and that's going to be relevant in the case where the value of the barrel depreciates, he's going to have to pay the higher price at Shas Gzela, and the moment of Shvira Umesa, which is a brand new Mechayev of Gzela, and therefore if the object appreciates, it goes up in value, he's going to have to pay the value for Zuzim at the time of the Shvira. However, all this is only in the case where the Gazlan actively destroyed B'yadayim the object, the barrel, or drank the wine. But Itbar Memela, if on the other hand, there's no Maisa Gzela at the time of Shvur Mesa, the object, the barrel in this case, just broke, is therefore Mishalim Zuzah, he pays Kishasa Gzela. My timer, why? Why does he get away with paying the depreciated value of a Zuz? Tahashtalo Ovidle Mide, there's no new Machayev of Gzela, he did nothing, he was totally passive. Is Amaikom Achayvislei, why does he have an obligation to pay, to compensate the Bailim, because of the original Maisig Zela that took place when the barrel was worth one Zuz? Ahishaita the Gazla, Ahishaita Zuzahu the Shavya, Yagri Machayvim on the Shas Gzela, there's no Machayev and Gzela at the time of Shvur Mesa, and at that moment, when he actually stole the barrel, it was worth nothing more than one Zuz. The Gemara now is going to ask on Rabbah from our Mishnah. Again, we've been talking about Gzela in the classical sense. How does this fit into the specific Gzela case of Shalech Yad B'Pikadon, which is the subject of our Mishnah? Is Beis Hillel Omrim Sha'as HaHotza'a Kishas HaHotza'a? According to Beis Hillel, if the Shomer was Sholeach Yad V'Pikadon, and it was valued at X at that moment, that's exactly what he pays. My Kishas Hotza, Ilema Kishas Hotza Mina Olam. If what Beis Hillel had in mind was that the Sholeach Yad V'Pikadon is going to pay the value of the object, the Pikadon, as it were, when it left the world, it was destroyed. Uvemai. Ibechaser, let's say for example the object of Bikodon went down in value, and therefore he pays Kishas Hotzah Min HaOlam, the lower price. Is Mi Ikol Aman Diomar, would anyone maintain that Shita? Is anyone who would say that the the shomer, who is sholeach yad pikon, pays for the value, the lower value of the object as it is now, when it was destroyed, and not the higher level of the shas shlichus yad when he stole vatanah. We have the Mishnah in Bava Kama that was quoted by Rava, kol agazlonim mishalmim kishas hagzela. So therefore, there's no question in anyone's mind that the sholech yad v'pikadon should have to pay the higher value of the moment of gzela, the ibi yaser. But what happens in the flip case, where instead of the object going down in value, it went up in value, is hainu beit shammai. That's exactly what Beit Shammai says. We have machlokas recorded in the Mishnah between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai was the one who insisted that if the object goes up in value, then the shomer is chayav to pay the higher value. So what's the machlokas here between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai? And here we turn to Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis El Pshita. We have to certainly understand that what Beis Hillel meant was kishas hotza mi beis pilim, that the exact payment imposed upon the shomer, meaning the level of his liability, is frozen in stone at the moment that he takes the pikadim for himself, and he sholeach yad, and that means he pays kishas hagzela. Now we're talking about a case where the pikadim went up in value, and nevertheless, he doesn't pay the higher value the way Beit Shammai says it, but the way Beis Hillel says he pays the lower value of Shas HaGzela. Is what are we going to do with Rabba's principle? Lema Rabba Diomer ke Beit Shammai? Is there a head-on collision here between Beis Hillel and Rabba? Because again, we're talking about a case here where the Sholeach Yad V'Pikadon basically took the object out of the reshus of the mafkin of the bailim in an act which constitutes gzela. The value of the pikadon went up. It can't be that the value of the pikadon went down, because in that case everybody agrees that he pays kishas shlichus yad, which is the moment of gzela. He pays the higher price if it went down. So obviously the context of Beis Hillel is a case where the value of the object went up. And yet, Beis Hillel says, he doesn't have to pay kishas hotzom in ha'olam, as Beit Shammai would insist, but he pays kishas hotzom, he pays the lower price. That's against Rabba, because Rabba says, in a case of Tavrei Oshasyeh, that he pays the higher value of 4 zuzim in the case where the object went up from the time of the gzela till the time of yitzia min ha'olam. And the Gemara is absolutely adamant that Rabba cannot be reflecting the shita of Beit Shammai against Beis Hillel. We always paskin like Beis Hillel against Beit Shammai, and Beis Hillel's of the opinion that the lower price, that the shomer, the sholeach yad, pays the lower price as it was valued when the shlichus yad v'pikadon took place. And again, we're talking about a case, we cannot forget this, where the value of the object went up. Amalcha Rabba says, b'yoser kuli amalo pligi, in a case where the object went up in value, everybody agrees that the sholeach yad v'pikadon, or the gazlan for that matter, pays the higher value in a case where the object at the time of its destruction, of Tavri of Shasi, was estimated on an appreciated higher value. Ki pligi, you'll ask me, so what is the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai? Not when the object went up in value, but b'chaser, which means that the pikadon went down in value. Beit Shammai savri shlichus yad eino tzricha chisaron. Beit Shammai is of the opinion, we had a major machlokas about this just 2 blot ago. What happens if the the Shaleach Yad moves the object for himself, for his own purpose, but he hasn't yet taken the object and devalued, he hasn't yet made a chisar to the object. His Beit Shammai says, nevertheless, he's already considered a Shaleach Yad, despite the fact that there's no chisaron. And therefore, in the case where the object went up in value, ki chaser birshuse, I'm sorry, in the case where the object, we're talking about yoser, talking about chaser, I'm sorry, right? Kuliabalo pligi in the case of yoser, but ki pligi in chaser, what's Beit Shammai's opinion when it goes down in value? And the answer is he has to pay the higher value of the moment of shlichus yad. Because Beit Shammai says that even though there was no chisaron, nevertheless he's chayv as a sholeach yad, and ki chaser, when the object goes down in value, b'shusa didei chaser, it's the shomer who has already acquired the object as a gazlan from the time that he implemented his shlichus yad, again in parentheses, despite the fact that there was no chisaron, and now when it goes down in value, that's relevant to the shomer. He's already clinched his gzela, his ownership, and if he has to pay the higher price of shas shlichus yad, beisil savri shlichus yad tzri chisaron. This is not a case of shlichus yad because right now the object is exactly intact, as it were, as it was given to him by the mafkid, and as long as there's no chisaron, then there's no machayv shlichus yad. Therefore, he's not a gazlan, and therefore. So when it goes down in value, that's the loss of the bailim. It's in reshus of the bailim it goes down in value. And now, when the object is lost, the shomer becomes a gazlan and he pays according to its value of now. Now, back on Daf Mem Aleph, 2 blot ago, we recorded a machlokes on this issue about whether shlichus yad needs chisaron or doesn't need chisaron. Rav is the one who maintains that shlichus yad ainot tzricha chisaron, and now we're interpreting Beis Hillel as saying shlichus yad tzricha chisaron. Is then lema? Shall we say Rava diomer kebeit Shammai? Ha diomer Rava shlichus yad ainot tzricha chisaron. Lema Rava diomer kebeit Shammai. That's not a very happy picture. Ella hachav mayaskinon. The Gemara now reinterprets the machlokas in our Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Kigon. The case is where the shomer received a barrel of wine to watch it. And Tiltala Lahavi Olea Gozlos. He moves the barrel to use it as a kind of a ladder to climb to a higher place so that he can catch on to some birds that are you know, settling up on top. And then later on the barrel was destroyed. And the question is, what is the status of the shomer the very moment that he moves the chavis in order to use it for his purposes? Uveshol shalom idas kamiflagi. This is a case of a person who borrows something, he has no intention of stealing it, but he had no rishus to use it for his own purposes. And that's the subject of the machlokes between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai savri. Shoel Shalomi Das Gazlan Havi, that the very moment a person takes somebody else's object and he uses it for his own purposes, even if he has no intention of stealing it, he's considered a Gazlan. And therefore, at that moment that he used the Chavis for his own purposes as a Shoel Shalomi Das Gazlan Havi, the compensation for this Gzela and the value of the object is set in stone. And if it depreciates later on, that's the problem of the shomer when it goes down in value. But he's going to have to pay the higher price of the moment of she'ela, which is the moment of gzela. Beis Hillel savri, on the other hand, Beis Hillel opined that shol shalvidas shoel havi, that even though a person uses someone else's object without permission, he has the status not of a gazlan, but rather that of a shoel, and therefore he saw v'chi chaser b'rishusi demara chaser. The bailim are still the owners of this object; it's still in their rishus. Now, the shoal is going to be chayev, but the shoal is only chayev b'shas otzo min ha'olam when the object is lost. And if the object went down in value, the shoal is not responsible to pay for anything more than the value of the object as it depreciated at the time of hotzo min ha'olam. So now the Gemara is still upset over here. Why? Elohad Yomar Rava. Rava happens to be of the opinion of Baba Basra that Shol Shalom Yidas L'Rabbanon Gazlan Havi. Is Lema Rava Yomar Kibet Shammai? Once again, we have no way of reconciling the sheet of Rava that Shol Shalom Yidas Gazlan Havi with the sheet of Beis Hillel. And therefore, we have to face the issue of Rava reflecting the shita of Beit Shammai that Shol Shalom Yidas Gazlan Havi. So it's in Rava's best interest to assume that even Beis Hillel would say Shol Shalom Yidas Gazlan Havi, in which case Beis Hillel would have to agree that the Shoel, in a case where the object depreciated, would pay the higher value of the Shas Sheil Shalom Yidas when he became a Gazlan. Ela Hacha. The Gemara offers a different explanation of this Mishnah. We're talking about a different kind of a pikadon. We're talking about an animal. And what is the issue over here? It's shevach shel gzeilka miflagi. Let's say the animal that was stolen goes up in value. For example, it has gizos and vlados. It has shearings that developed on the animal's back, or it gave birth to a calf, another animal. And all this happened after the shlichus yad v'pikadon. And the question is, and this is going to be the subject of the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, when Beit Shammai say in our Mishnah b'choser u'b'yeser, what he's referring to is not fluctuation in the market value of the object that was the subject of the shlichus yad pikadon, but rather the words chisaron and yeser have to be reinterpreted. Chisaron means that the gizos, the shearings, were nechsera, or the vlados were nechsera. Is Beit Shammai Savri Shvach Gzela Denigzal Havi? The Gizos and the Vlados that came into the world after the Shlichus Yad Pikadon, they belong to the Nigzal. In other words, basically, even after the Shlichus Yad Pikadon, the Bailim still have ownership rights over the animal, even though the animal was quote unquote stolen through the Shlichus Yad. Beit Shammai say, insofar as the Bailim, the original owner, has and maintains his ownership rights, then all the Shvach, all the increase is his. And therefore, the Sholeach Yad V'Pikadon is going to have to pay not only for the animal, but also for the Gizos and the Vlados. Simply because the Gizos and the Vlados belong to the Nigzal, to the Bailim. And therefore, when the object is lost and the Shomer has to pay for the object, he's going to have to pay for everything that was lost to the Bailim. And what the Bailim lost that was theirs and is no longer is not just the animal, but also the Gizos Vavlodos. On the other hand, Beis Hillel Savri, Shvach Gzila de Gazlan Havi, once the Gazlan stole the animal, he acquires ownership on the animal such that the Shvach of Gizos Vlados belongs to him, and therefore according to Beis Hillel, in this case of Chaser, where the Bailim are going to lose the Gizos Vlados, the Gazlan is not, in this case the Sholech Yad, is not responsible to compensate the Bailim for Gizos Vlados, because those Gizos Vlados belong to the Gazlan. Ubepluta Dahani Tanoi, this in effect is an old machlokes, which is recorded by the Braisa, the Sanya Hagozel Es HaRochel. If a person steals a sheep, Gizaza, and then he shears the wool off the back of the sheep, or alternatively, Viyolda, the sheep gives birth. And now the question is, when the Gazlan comes to pay the Nigzal, what does he pay? According to Rabbi Meir, Mishalim Osav es Gizosev es Vadoseha, the loss that was incurred by the owner is not just the animal, but also the Gizos and Vlados, and therefore the Gazan has to compensate the owner, the Nigzal, for not only the animal, but the Gizos Vlados. That's what Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Gzela Choseres B'Einehu. That means that the value that the Gazan has to pay is the value of the sheep itself, but not the value of the Gizos and Vlados. Because what he stole was the Rachel, was the sheep itself. He didn't steal the Gizos and Vlados. They weren't in the world at the time of the Gzela. And his Chiyuv as a Gazlan is set in stone at the moment of the Gzela. The increase and Shevach of Giza and Vlados accrues to the Gazan insofar as he made a Kenyan. In fact, if you take a look in the Ritva, the Ritva suggests that perhaps the Machlokas here revolves around whether Shinui is Kone or not Kone, because the birth of a little sheep, or the creation of the growth of wool on the animal's back, these are cases of shinui, and the question is, does the Gazlan have a kinyan shinui, and therefore the Gizos of Lotus accrue to the Gazlan? According to Beit Shammai, no, and according to Rabbi Meir, no, because shinui itself is not a kinyan for Gzela. But according to Beis Hillel, and now we see it also in this Braisa of Rabbi Yehuda, the Gazlan is kona, the Gizos of Lotus with shinui. That's the Ritva's interpretation of this sugya. Dekonami, the Gemara wants to say that if you read the Mishnah carefully, the Katani, the Mishnah uses the language Beit Shammai Omi Yilokeh Bechaser Ubiyeser Beisil Omer Kishas Hotza. Beit Shammai didn't mention Yilokeh Bezol Ubiyoker. He didn't indicate, he didn't whisper a word about the fluctuation in the market value of the Gzela. But rather he mentions chaser v'yesa, which seems that the goof of the animal in this case was either chaser or yeser, that there was some change in the animal itself because of the giza of Lodashmami. No, that's the pshat in our Mishnah. At this point in the sugi, we come to the third sheet of Tanoim, that of Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Kishas, Hatvia. So B'li Neder will pick this up in the next year.